It's always good to be back here at Allegheny Center Lights Church and getting the opportunity. I feel like I'm really honored and privileged to open up the Word of God to all of you. I'm also very thankful and grateful for Pastor Rock and the leadership of the church for giving me the opportunity. You know, I run Urban Impact. I know most of you, if not all of you, know that, so let me make a plug. You heard the singers a couple weeks ago, right? They were singing, oh, they were good. They're going to be doing a concert tonight at 7 o'clock over at Hazlett Theater. We'd love for you to come. Encourage them. You will be encouraged. The presence of God, I've heard them. It's like the Lord just steps in. So you want to be encouraged? You want to encourage them? Show up tonight, 7 o'clock over at Hazlett Theater. Well, today I've asked Denise to be with me today, and she's going to teach you a worship song. And this worship song is going to help us through our sermon. At different times, we're going to break out in this worship song. She's going to teach you, but would you please put your hands together and welcome Denise Graves.
Morning, everybody. Some of you may know the song. It's really easy. It goes like this. This is how I find my battles. This is how I find my battles. Try it with me. This is how I find my battles. I think you're going to have to clap your hands. This is how I
fight my battles.
Like that. The second part goes like this. Look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Don't stop clapping. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Two more times, say. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded. Think about what you're saying this morning. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded. That's it. Come on. This is how I fight my battles. Again. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight with your hands, with your mouth. This is how I fight. It may look like sick. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by him. Thank you, God, yeah. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by him. Declare, yeah. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by him. Yeah, yeah. It may look like I'm surrounded by him.
Somebody shout for that this morning.
Yeah. Good job, Denise. That's great. You guys done good. My old coach would say you done good, guys. You got it down. Hey, today's sermon is called God's Got One More Move. God's Got One More Move. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you for who you are. And I want to ask you today to forgive me and cleanse me of any sin that would hinder the preaching of your word. And you'd fill me and anoint me. And we as your people wouldn't just be hearers of your word, but we would be doers of it. And you wouldn't just stir us, but that you would change us. For Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Our passage is found in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 10 through 23. 10 through 23, 2 Kings 6. Before I read the passage, let me give you some of the background. Israel and Aram, which is present-day Syria, are battling. They're at war with each other. And the Arameans are sending down raids upon Israel. But every time they plan to attack, their plans are spoiled. Because God gives special revelation to Elijah. So Elijah goes over and tells the king of Israel what the king of Aram is doing, and he's always one step ahead, the king of Israel. This really frustrates the king of Aram, where he believes that possibly he has a spy in his camp. And we pick up the story in verse 10. It says this, time and again, that means it happened more than once, Elijah warned the king of Israel, so that he was on his guard in such places. Verse 11, this enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? In other words, who's the spy? Who's the spy? Verse 12, none of us, my lord the king, said one of his officers, but Elisha, The prophet who's in Israel tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. In other words, Elisha even knows what you say in secret. So King of Aram realizes that he's got to get rid of Elisha. So he's either got to kill him or capture him. So he sends out a scouting team, scouting party, to look for Elisha. The report comes back that he's in a city called Dothan. And then the king sends out an army at night, and they surround the city in order to keep or in order to capture Elisha. We pick up the story in verse 15. When the servant of the man of God, in other words, Elisha had a servant, got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh my Lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. So he went outside, he saw this army, comes back inside and says, "Elisha, we're surrounded by our enemies. We're doomed. What are we going to do?" Verse 16, I love it. Elisha says this, "Don't be afraid." The prophet answered, "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Now hear this. I'm thinking the servant is standing there looking at Elisha, and he says, "Hey, boss. Hey, look, I know you're the prophet, but I was just outside and there's hundreds of soldiers surrounding us. And I'm in here with you and all I see is you and me. What do you mean that we have more than them? How's that work?" Verse 17, Elijah prayed, "Oh Lord, open his eyes so he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Aram's army thought, "We got these two boys surrounded. We got them in checkmate. They have no more moves." But they had no clue that God had them surrounded. Oh, he had them surrounded. This morning, you might have come here today and you might be facing an insurmountable situation. You might be facing an overwhelming situation. And you believe that the odds are stacked up against you. You believe that you're surrounded and you have no way out. You believe that the world, the flesh, and the devil's got you in checkmate and you have no more moves. But this word of God is telling us today that you might be surrounded, but God is surrounding you. God's got one more move. He's got one more move. Watch this. Yes. Praise the Lord. God says, open his eyes. He opens his eyes. And this is what has to happen to you and happens to us. This is what needs to be. God would open our eyes, open his eyes like he did for the servant. And the servant looked and he could see the unseen. He could see the invisible. He saw the spiritual world. He began to see the spiritual realities all around him. And Elijah was saying, "Oh God, help him to see we have friends in high places. Oh, help him to see." He sees. He sees the enemy, yes, but then he sees God. And he sees God's presence. He sees God's protection. He sees ultimately God's power, because it is God's power that rescued Elisha and his servant and ultimately the nation of Israel. Look what it says in verse 18. As the enemy came down toward him, Elijah prayed to the Lord, "Strike these people with blindness." So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. This is not talking about physical blindness. This is talking about mental blindness. Oh, they could see, but they could not see correctly. God was doing a miracle here. Doing a miracle. Verse 19, Elijah told him, "This is not the road. This is not the city. Follow me and I will lead you to the man you're looking for." And he led them to Samaria. Samaria at this time was the capital city of Israel. Can you see what's happening here? It's amazing. Verse 20, after they entered the city, Elijah said, "Open their eyes of these men so that they can see. Then the Lord opened their eyes and they looked, and there they were inside of Samaria. Imagine, Arameans are there. They think they've got these two boys in checkmate. We got them surrounded. God reverses the situation, and now they're standing in Samaria, and now they're surrounded by the army of Israel. Our God is good. He reverses things. He takes things that look like your back is against the wall, and he has the possibility, he makes it possible to turn that all around, reverse that situation for you so that it becomes good. All things work together for good for those who love God. He's the one who can make that happen, because God's always got one more move. Always got one more move. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked, "Elijah, shall I kill them? My father, shall I kill them?" Oh, he wanted to take out his enemies. "Do not kill them," he answered. "Would you kill men you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them. After they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. He turned it around. Where there seemed to be no way, he turned it around. The king of Israel wanted to kill his enemies. But Elijah said no. Why did Elijah say no? Because God wanted to reveal to the Arameans who he was. He wanted to reveal to them who were his enemies. He wanted them to know the true God, the God who can save. See, God says that he desires no one to perish. And he wants everyone to know that he can make a way where there seems no way. He wants them to know that he's a God that always has one more move, even his enemies. Maybe you who love the Lord, you're surrounded today, but God wants you to know that he's a God who can save. Maybe that's why he surrounded you. And so that you're surrounded maybe by the world of flesh and the devil, but God wants you to know today that he's a God who can save. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, some of you also might be thinking out there, "Pastor Ed, I know that happened to Elisha and it happened to his servant, but that was a long time ago. I mean, God's presence and God's protection and power just don't operate like that anymore." Well, I'm here to tell you, yes, they do. Let me tell you, I've told you the story before, but I tell you again. My wife Tammy and I moved down to the north side of Pittsburgh. We were pastors right here. And we moved into the north side in the 80s on a street where 4 out of 5 homes were boarded up and unoccupied. It was really rough. Kind of like the Wild West a little bit. And Tammy walked out of her house with our 2 sons at that time. Nathan was 2 and Joshua was just a baby. She was putting them in the car seats. And she looked down the street and these 2 men were beating up the woman who was delivering the mail to our community. That's a federal offense. You don't mess with people that are delivering the mail. Well, they saw that Tammy had seen them. So they left the woman that they were beating up and they started heading towards my wife, Tammy. I believe with every intention to do the same to her. Tammy realizes this and she puts the kids into the car seats as fast as she can. And she realizes she can't get in the car before they get there. So she locks the doors, shuts the doors, turns around, and she faces those 2 men. And she looks at them and she musters up the most angry, mean look she could possibly muster. And she faced those 2 boys. I stop right there. Because of the community in which we lived in at that time, Tammy and I would pray regularly that God's presence and protection would be with us. And how we did that is we prayed the Lord's Prayer. So Tammy's standing there with this mean look, and all of a sudden these 2 boys stop. Their eyes got as big as saucers. They turned white as ghosts. And they bolted. They ran as fast as they could away from my wife, Tammy. And Tammy's standing there thinking to herself, "Now I know that look wasn't that mean." So she thinks that there's probably a police officer or a police car that just drove up behind her. She turns around and she looks, and there's nothing there. Oh, my friend, there was something there. We don't know if it was Michael. We don't know if it was Gabriel. We don't know if it was the Lord Jesus Christ. But God opened up the heavens, and those two men saw the spiritual realities because they thought they had my wife surrounded, but God had my wife surrounded by him. Yeah, he made a way. Yes, God's presence, God's protection is still available today. Oh, let's sing this song. Let's sing it like we believe it. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Like I'm surrounded, but I'm not surrounded by you. Yeah, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm not surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my. A little bit louder, come on, say. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my. It may look like Satan. It may look like I'm surrounded.
Not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Oh, God's presence and God's protection is as real as ever. But also his power. God has the power to perform miracles. My third son, Jonathan, was 16 years old. He spontaneously began to throw up. He continued to threw up well over 1,000 times. We were in and out of the hospital 12 different times, 57 straight days, in and out. Finally, the doctors put a feeding tube up his nose, down his throat, into his stomach, and gave him fluids in order to sustain his life. And one day, the doctors at Children's asked us to come into their office. We walked into the office, sat us down, and they looked at us and said, Mr. and Mrs. Glover, we have no more options. We have no way of helping your son. In that moment, Tammy and I felt like we were totally surrounded. We felt like we were in checkmate and we had no more moves. We walked out of that office and our adopted daughter, Amy Volstead, encouraged us to go to a healing service. Out of desperation, we went to the Covenant Church. Barbara Garlington prayed over my son and we walked out of the service. We went to a restaurant. We sat down. My son picked up a glass of water. Hadn't drunk a drop in 57 days. He drank the whole glass of water, drank a whole gallon of water, pulled out his feeding tube, and God healed my son. Healed him. To this day, he's well. He was healed. Listen, we felt like we were surrounded. We had no way out. We felt like we were in checkmate. But God had one more move. He has one more move. This morning you might have walked in here and you thought to yourself, I'm at the end of my rope. Maybe today you need a miracle. Maybe your marriage isn't doing well. You might need a healing. It might be physically or mentally. Or emotionally. You might need a miracle in some way financially. You might need a miracle spiritually because the world, the flesh, and the devil's got you by the tail. And even though you are trying to walk with God, you fall more than you walk. And it's like there's this area of your life that he has hold on. You're like a captive. You're like a puppet. He pulls the strings. You just do what he wants you to do. You can't break through and you need a breakthrough. You need God to do something for you that you just can't do for yourself. And this may be the day for you, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, financially, relationally. You need a miracle and you need it today. And this might be your day. If that's your day, when we sing this song, you stand to your feet and we're going to pray. We're going to pray that God will set you free. We're going to pray that you will be released. We're going to pray that you will be loosened, that you will be set free out from the captives, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Every way that God will touch you, because God's got one more move. Oh, Denise, let us sing. Stand if you need Him. Those of you that are sitting down, just reach out your hand and touch that person on your left or right or in front of you or back of you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is through the stripes of Jesus. It's through the blood of Christ. It is through the finished work of Jesus who walked out of the grave. We are talking to you, Lord Jesus. You are the healer. You are the sanctifier. You are the one who can deliver. You're the one who forgives. You're the one who sets free and transforms. So we ask, where two or three are gathered in your name, we ask that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, in our lives. God, we need a miracle. I pray for each individual that you would touch them, you would deliver them, you would rescue them right now in the name of Jesus. As they call upon your name, we ask that you will loosen us in the name of Jesus Christ. Set us free. And now what you've taken out of our lives, that you would fill us now with your Spirit, with your healing power, your resurrected power. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen and amen. Let us sing one more chorus.
You look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
You can be seated. You can be seated. All God is good. Thank you, Jesus. You know, God not only performs physical miracles and spiritual, emotional, but spiritual ones. He has the power to save you. He has the power. That's the greatest miracle of all time. He has the power to take away your sin and bring you back into a right relationship with the Heavenly Father. That's what He does. That's what He can do. Hear this in the name of Jesus. The Jesus, when He was hanging on that cross, the Romans and the religious leaders were looking at Him. And they thought to themselves, we got this boy in checkmate. He's done. And when he died, they walked away and said, he has no more moves. We win. He loses. And then they buried him. And when they buried him, the disciples went up in a room and they hid in there. They were afraid, scared to death, that the officials or the religious leaders were going to come and get them and kill them, crucify them. So no one, not the disciples, not the religious leaders, not the Romans, no one ever thought that Jesus had one more move. But Jesus walked out of the grave. And when he walked out of the grave, he had one more move. And when he walked out, he made it possible that anybody who calls upon his name shall be saved. He made that possible because he's the one who died on the cross for our sin. And then he walked out of the grave. And he alone has all the power and authority to forgive you and give to you eternal life. Why? Because he overcame sin and death, and he lives. Listen to what the scriptures teach about Jesus in Romans. Romans chapter 32. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? All things. Who will bring any charge against those who God has chosen? It is God who justifies, as if you've never sinned. Who then is the one who condemns? No one, for there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for you right now. He knew of this day. He knew you would be here. And he made it possible so that you could know him personally. You see, when Jesus Christ hung on that cross, he died for your sin. People say to me, Pastor Ed, how in the world can I have a relationship with him? How does it begin? It says this, for God so loved you that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. What does it mean to believe? It's as simple as A, B, C. A means you admit that you broke the laws of God, that you're not perfect, that you need a savior. B, you believe. You transfer your trust from yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you believe what he did on the cross, he did for you. And what he did on the cross is enough for you. You see, Jesus was, and he's hanging on the cross. He said, it's finished. What does that mean? It's a legal term. It means that he has paid your penalty in full. Listen, we were sinners. We broke the laws of God. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. We were doomed. But the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, went to the cross and died. He satisfied the law. He paid your penalty. He did it for you, your substitute, made it possible so that you can be forgiven of all your sin. I'm talking about past, present, and future. Because when he said it was done, he meant it was all done. We're not talking about religion. Religion says do so that you can be good enough to be accepted by God. Jesus Christ said from the cross, it's done. I ended it right there. Anybody who calls upon my name, I now have all authority and power to forgive you of your sin and to give to you eternal life. It's not about you trusting your work. You begin to trust the finished work of Jesus Christ. You transfer your trust from yourself to the Lord Jesus. One day I was out in a pool and I was with my father and he was trying to teach me how to float on my back. I kept going down to the bottom of the pool. Finally, my father took water in his hands like this and he threw it up in the air and he said, Ed, water just like this holds up Navy ships. Stop trying and start trusting what the water can do. That made sense to me. So I put my full weight on that water and the water did what it was supposed to do. What you're saying is that Jesus Christ, what he's saying, I have paid your penalty in full. You don't have to repay something you paid for. It's done. Now you just trust what I did for you, I did for you. And what I did for you is enough for you. But here it is, that you go from A to B to C. C means commitment. Commitment. When I married my wife, Tammy, I said, I will. And I committed myself. That meant I said no to everybody else. But I did that publicly. Could you imagine marrying a person that said, hey, I want to marry you, I want to love you, I want to have a relationship with you, but I don't want anybody to know it? You'd be crazy to marry a person like that. Listen to this. Jesus is saying to us, he's saying, I know that you admit it, I know that you believe it, but are you committed? In other words, the Bible says, if you are ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of you. If you're not willing to identify with him, he cannot identify with you. This idea that there is a private faith is a lie. We're talking about a living Christ. You can't pretend that you don't know him. You can't walk around acting like you are some, you know, private eye that doesn't know Jesus. You either know him and you're all in or you're not in. You get what I'm saying to you? It makes it very clear in the scriptures. They will stand before God and say, we did all these things in your name. He said, I don't know you. Why? Because they were not willing to identify. Don't let fear keep you from experiencing the fullness of Jesus Christ. Let go, identify, say that you're not ashamed, call yourself a believer of Jesus Christ or walk away. It's one or the other. You need to know that truth. You're either committed or you're not committed. There's no such thing as this halfway deal. Does not exist. How can I say to my wife, I'm halfway in? Oh, I think I halfway in want to commit to you. Doesn't happen, boys and girls. You want to know Jesus? This prayer does not save you. Jesus does. As we are led in this worship, one chorus. If you stand, I'll guarantee you this because the Bible guarantees it. If you're not ashamed of him, he will not be ashamed of you. If you identify with him, he will identify with you. And he guarantees he'll be with you now and forever. If you want that, you stand. By standing, you're committing yourself to Jesus Christ. One chorus. All of you that are standing, you mark this day down. This day, you become not just a creation of God. You become a child of the living God. You are just about to join into the family of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We ask right now that you would forgive us and cleanse us of our sin. We ask that you not only be our Savior, but our Lord, that you would resurrect yourself in our lives. That the resurrected power, the fullness of your spirit would come into our lives right here and right now. And we thank you for what you've done. Help us to serve you all our days. For Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All of you that are standing, I encourage you, go through those doors right there. Get the Bible. Let us pray for you. God did a great thing in this day. Let's praise him. Praise God. You may be seated. God is good. He always has one more move. God bless you. It's very, very good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Thank you.